When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's so dark out right now. I can't believe I'm Doc McGee, and I can't find Paul Stanley's house. I've got to get there for a roast. I'm a bit late. I got to get rolling here, but my GPS... My battery's dead. My battery's dead in my car. I've got a really rough throat right now, too. I might have to walk. I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't believe I'm Doc McGee, and I can't make it to Paul Stanley's house. I hope somebody can save me. It's dark, it's spooky, it's Halloween.
Doc! Hey, Doc, it's me, Eddie!
Eddie who?
It's me, Eddie Trunk! I know where Paul lives!
Eddie Trunk.
Yes, it's only about like, it's only 2 hours away! I got a UFO box that we can listen to on the way there!
Welcome to the Cobras and Fire podcast, part of the Decibel Geek Podcast Network. If this episode doesn't make your skin crawl, it's on too tight.
Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, Luce Cannon, along with the ghoulish Baco. How are you, sir?
I am well. Thanks for asking.
So basically, you sound like Paul Stanley is Dracula.
Indeed.
A little bit lispy.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, God. Well, I tell you what. Are you going to do that voice the rest of the show or no?
Absolutely not, no.
Because I'm not doing my Doc McGee because it's nearly killing me. My throat... feels like sandpaper right now. And when I go into a character, I do not half step. I go all in, Baco.
You're like a method voice actor.
I really am. I'm like the, who's that guy that goes to an Adobe hut? Not not Decibel Geek, but the guy that every couple of years he does a movie and then he gets an Academy Award and he vanishes. Daniel D-Lewis. Daniel D-Lewis.
Oh, I thought it was Steve.
Yeah, no. But yeah, he's like the guy. That guy.
Or Jared Leto.
How would you like to be a friend of a method actor? How annoying would that be? Like,
if I actually, was running on the supposition that they had no friends.
I think by if you are a character actor, you have no friends. That's how it works out. That seriously, being on set. Can you imagine being on set with one of these people? And they're like, apparently Jim Carrey stayed in character for that fucking Man in the Moon movie. Who is that the guy that would be on stage and do the old
Andy Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman. How annoying! First off, you're not just being a character actor. You're being a character actor, and your character is Andy Kaufman. Like,
who's a guy who, like, worst. Basically, I'm going to be this character for a year and a half.
Yeah, I mean, how annoying is that? Anyway.
It's soup's annoying, Luce.
Soup's annoying, just like this intro, so why don't you take over? I want to sit in the driver's seat. No, I do not. I want to sit in the passenger seat. I want you to drive and take us down, Death Lane, Death Alley?
We're fucked if I'm in control, Jesus.
Go, please.
Yeah, and this is Halloween spooky shit, right?
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. My name's Jason, bitch.
Oh yeah, you got a big old blade. You got a hockey mask. You got a burnt face. You go in dreams. You a Halloween band.
So why don't we break down the segments between songs? We are going to do something that we're going to call Baco versus Loose Cannon, Winner Kills All.
Ooh, this sounds like a mashup of horror movies, genres.
It's a song-for-song battle, baby. I don't even know how we're going to keep score. People at home, do what you want.
That's correct.
Well, why don't we start this first segment leading up to the first song-for-song head-to-head battle with what was your early, growing up in Indiana pre-house burning, what was your earliest Halloween memories? What did Loose Cannon dress up as, like, as a child?
Usually a Smurf. You know, I would just paint my...
You had, like, one go-to? You would just keep hitting it?
That's right. I just remember seeing a picture. One of the pictures didn't burn up of me when I was like seven or something like that. And I thought it was a good idea. At some point, I must have said to my parents, "You know what I want to be? I want to be a Smurf." So it was just fucking like a blue face, a white hat, and sadness. I think I remember that Halloween.
So let's at least get a bit of a demographic a picture of what's going on here. Your family was not the kind of family that had a hard time spending $7 on one of those little box costumes that had a mask with a rubber band and a plastic suit.
No, I wasn't. Did you understand what I was saying? I was a Smurf. They painted my face blue.
Exactly. That's way more expensive.
How is it more expensive? It's fucking
Did they make the makeup themselves?
I don't know. Maybe they took blueberries and smashed them in a jar with everything like that. I mean, we made our own applesauce. Maybe there was every winter, Baco, when it was in the can household, I had to slice apples and put them in a blender and make pink applesauce because we didn't take off the peels. Taking off the peels is for pussies. So we would put them all in there and maybe they added blueberries to it. Maybe they smeared it on my face and they put a white hat on. That, I think, is less costly than getting your little fucking mask.
That sounds super expensive. But
either way, it's coated in sadness, is my point.
Yeah, I get where you're going, and you're trying to paint your childhood as like this much more traumatic thing than I'm picturing. But let me ask you this, then. When was the first time you dressed as a member of KISS?
I'm going to say 18. So I think I was Gene Simmons twice, two or three times, and I did make a damn good Gene Simmons. the I have some pictures to prove it. We did the whole band one time, but yeah, 18 was the first time I did it. Yeah,
I think I was 21, so we probably did it the same year, 1991.
Yeah, I think we did together. Just mm-hmm. like we picked out a gay track for the last.
Oh man! So, do you are you still a fan of Halloween, or what are your thoughts?
Of course, yeah. No, now it's more.
You got kids, and
yeah, I got the kids. But yeah, you know, there's.
Hey, let me ask you this: as a parent, do you feel bad that like they can't really experience it the way we did, like the. There's kind of this helicopter attitude towards the parenting of it. Like, I remember, like, just being, like, dropped off and picked up 3 hours later. And now it seems like there's, like, well, we trick-or-treat when the sun is still up, and we stop the moment it sets.
First off, what the fuck is up with that? That was the thing that was the most confusing to me when the first couple of years of doing Halloween as a parent is... Who is knocking at my door at 4:30 in the afternoon?
Yes.
Right? I mean, every time. Yeah. I mean, you go watch this. You go watch these, even going back to the 80s, like the movies. I give you a perfect example. Kids used to have to fend for themselves. Let me tell you this. You've, of course, seen the movie E.T., yes?
Oh, yeah.
At least once. There's a scene in it that is an adult you watch that's hilarious that has to go with the main plot point, and that is that what's Drew Barrymore's character's name? Whatever it is.
Steve.
It's fine. Steve, the girl in the movie, is left behind. She goes, fuck it, I'm leaving my 5-year-old in this house as I leave for like an hour, and that's the point where E.T. gets drunk, and there's that scene... Where he gets and the whole
it all takes place around trick or treating.
It all takes place, but the point is that she leaves.
I got it.
Kid Gertrude, or whatever the fuck her name is, for like an hour at home, and like just shoves the TV and she's like, "I gotta go," like that. Like that used to be us back in the day. Now you can't even trick or treat at 7 o'clock at night. I get your point.
Yeah, it's.
Watch Stranger Things. Stranger Things. Stand By Me. Watch these movies. These were fucking men as boys. It! These kids were left alone!
And none of those kids are listening right now, but if they were, you are missing out. It really was a part of the life that you never want to, you know, you don't want to lose that, man.
Yeah, but you also don't, it also, you know, it doesn't give me the opportunity to be a shitty parent either. That's my point. It's more acceptable.
Oh, yeah. I get that. You know that my wife and I are huge fans of Halloween. It's our anniversary. We were married on Halloween, so we're almost never home on Halloween to give out candy and be spooky and creative people, right? So there's been at least 2 years that we put out a bowl of candy with, you know, like the idea, like, just take what you want, right? Yeah. Literally, somebody could come up and just dump the whole thing in their bag. The 2 years we did it, I'm not sure anybody got any candy. We came home 3 hours later, and it was a full bowl. If anybody got anything, I'm not sure what they took.
That's sad.
Everything has changed, man. My God, I would have stolen that whole bowl. Well, Luce, that brings us to our first head-to-head spooky song matchup. For my pick, I'm going to pick what I personally believe to be the fucking scariest song ever recorded. And not the live version. I'm talking the studio version, and that's Black Sabbath by Black Sabbath. What are you going to put up against that?
Ooh,
bitch.
I see what you're doing here. You know, I'm doing this. I'm flipping through songs right now, and it is, I'm going to just pull an audible, and this song has to do a lot with, you know, It's when a small boy can't take it anymore, and he decides to shoot his dad in the head. And that's called When Hell Comes Home by Alice Cooper.
Take me for a ride.
that everything is fine. Mommy hides your bruises all the time. She always makes excuses, but I know that she is lying. Mommy says that everything is fine. That's just the way it is. He's evil to the bone. Mommy says that everything.
now there's a very specific time frame of a person's life where they're old enough to watch a horror movie and still young enough to be scared or actually believe it. And what do you think it is, about 13 to 15?
Well, I mean, you can still be scared by movies now if they're good. But yeah, you never get
scared. Don't you think it's more startled than actually scared?
It depends on the movie, man. There's a lot of this whole resurgence of like suspense slash like
Yes, and I love all of it, but I don't actually get scared. I don't
tense.
Feel
how about tense?
Tense, yeah, but that's what I'm getting at. Is like, but there was a time though when a movie actually scared the fuck out of me.
Yeah, yeah,
and that was like 13 to 15.
I'm gonna say
maybe
you're
12
right.
to 14, maybe.
Sure. No, that's the zone because you don't know how bloody it's gonna get. You know, you're right. Like
you're
like,
actually scared
to watch
you're not
it.
Tense. You're not frightened. You're literally going, "Oh my god!" You might have a fucked up dream about it.
You might have a heart attack. Yeah. Because the whole idea of watching Friday the 13th.
Especially nowadays, because kids are so fat.
Freddy Krueger is actually killing kids off because they're fucking fat. Oh, God. That's pretty good. I like it. Hey. I like it.
All right.
Yeah. But yeah, like the concept of me sitting down to watch a Friday the 13th or a Freddy was the first time I would watch one of those. You like had to like, you know, you had to man up to sit down because you're like, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So go ahead. Where are you going here?
Well, I'm asking you, like, so like, was that your time frame?
Yeah. It was like 1982, 84. I mean, I remember the first time I saw Nightmare, I was like petrified. Friday the 13th, it was even like, I think it was the first one. Was that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's the zone. Yep.
And I know they're not great movies, but I love them. And then Saw came along, and it kind of led into, you know, Human Centipede, which is basically the pinnacle of all gore movies.
Okay, so in that Human Centipede, can you, from front to back, can you describe which members of Three Sides of the Coin you would have in there?
Okay, so the three sides of the coin Human Centipede would have to be Branwald at the end.
Okay, and then you can just switch up the other two.
It doesn't really matter.
Okay, that's fine.
I mean, no, Branwald's in the middle.
He's in the middle, okay.
It really doesn't. As long as Branwald isn't at the head, I don't really care. Yeah.
All right, next.
Love you, Mike. So up next, round two. Ding!
Hit it.
So my next song is going to be... Oh, have you ever heard a little band called Samhain Loose?
Who?
Samhain.
Who?
They have a song called Halloween 2.
Ooh.
So what are you going to put up against that, bitch?
Man, I am going to say I'm probably going to play... I'm trying to look at this. I have a lot to choose from. I'm probably going to play the song Jump Rope by Steve Jablonski, which is from A Nightmare on Elm Street, which is the one that goes, 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you. 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you. Or I could do, let me think here. Oh, I could do the Monster Mash. What do you think about that? No? Let me think here. What about, I Ain't Afraid of No Ghosts? There's something weird, and it don't look good. Who you gonna call?
Just pick one.
I'm going through my list here. I know what I'm going to play. I got it. It's locked down. You ready?
Okay. So You know what song you're going to put up against Samhain Halloween 2. What is it?
Yep. I was going to go Adam's Family theme, but I'm going with A Nightmare on Nightmare on My Street by DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Okay.
And the Fresh Prince.
Until I noticed those rips in my sheets, and that was proof that there had been a nightmare on my street.
about like Halloween soundtracks? What's your favorite?
I think was it Fastway that did the Trick or Treat?
Yes, the great soundtrack. Do you like the movie with the Skippy from Family Ties?
I remember. Well, I haven't seen it since the 80s. I know that for. I'm sure it's awful. I remember it was goofy as fuck even then that Skippy was in a movie. That's probably his first and last movie, I would assume, that he was cast in.
As a lead? Of course.
Oh, yeah. As a lead, yeah.
Like Pauly Shore is getting more opportunities recently. So.
Pauly Shore's come up a lot in this podcast lately. As a warning to others, mostly. So, yeah, what else you got? So you're talking, we were going to the soundtracks. So I think you had a very good point. Like, I remember, I Know What You Did Last Summer. That was pretty layered with a bunch of rock artists.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
What's another one you're thinking of?
A Bordello of Blood. What's his name?
Dennis Miller.
Dennis Miller, yes.
What the fuck was that? Was that one?
Why do so many people hate him, by the way? I love him.
Let's just say when I was 14, I was treated for tennis elbow, and I didn't even own a fucking racket. Let ye who has a free hand cast the first stone.
He uses a lot of big words.
I mean, he's smug.
He's very
smug.
Which
is probably why I like him.
So it's probably, I should like him as well. But yeah, I don't know. I can take him in small doses. But that was a weird movie. Like it was him and what was it? Angie Everhart or like really like hot red heart? Was it?
That's right. Yeah, I think it was her.
She was her. It was like something what the like fuck's that. And that little Tales from the Crypt puppet. Whatever
it is. Oh, well, no, you're confusing two movies. Tales from the Crypt is another soundtrack. Because they kind of had a rebirth Tales from the Crypt.
Tales from the Crypt was...
Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Bordello of Blood was a Tales of the Crypt offshoot. Like, they had a couple movies.
You know what my next pick is?
What?
The live version of God of Thunder off of Alive 2. What are you going to put up against that? Bitch.
Oh, jeez. Anything against that shit show. Let me see here. You hear that? That's right, kids. I don't like...
Yeah.
I don't know. For some reason, I never liked that version. I've only liked the studio version.
You hate the studio version. Yeah, I hate's too strong a word.
It's got a lot of effects. I like anything that sounds like somebody says, "You're too sexy." What do you think those kids are saying in the beginning?
Okay, now we start singing.
That's not what I think. I think they say, "You're too sexy for his pants," and that's why Gene hasn't worn pants since then.
Okay, then.
You know what, bitch? I have a song off of the most badass metal horror movie soundtrack of all time, and that is Time Warp off of the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I don't think you know what a horror movie is.
Well, it has meatloaf in it, so that's scary enough.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
Just a jump to the left.
And then a step to the right.
With your hands on your hips.
Into the time slip, and nothing can ever be the same.
You're spaced out on sensation,
like you're under sedation.
Well, happy Halloween, my friend.
Happy Halloween to you.
You
got your outfit planned out, I assume? You're doing a theme with the wife?
Yeah, I wasn't going to tell you, but we're going as you and you for Halloween this year.
That's horrible.
We're
going
to just be arrogant, smug pricks to everybody we see for 24 hours.
Talk about nothing but non sequiturs and bore people with conversation. And I guess you should just go up to them and say, like, hey, it's this conversation would be a lot better if I had some editing tools.
Yeah, well, I had to veto the wife. She wanted to go as Aaron Camaro and Sinzak. So.
No, she didn't. And what, you guys just both hold an Adobe hut above you as you walk around? Hey, who's carrying the car battery to fuel it?
No, one of us wears a Packer shirt and says, "This is the nicest piece of clothing I've owned." And the other one goes, "Seriously, I don't understand what Vinnie Vincent's problem is." That's all we do the whole time.
But, yeah, and then you just have tough playing in the background.
No, so thankfully we're doing you.
Okay, great.
Just being fucking assholes.
Well, that's scary enough. I have nothing else to say. You want to wrap this up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up, bitch.
Okay, let's do it. Rock's not dead.
Is hiding.
At 4:30 in the afternoon, it's still light out because we're a little scared.
Trick or treat, bitch.
Alone.
I got it. Okay. What kind of car should you be driving? An El Camino?
Yes.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.